I have a scripture here that seems to me to be very appropriate for the occasion in which we have here tonight. Now, you've been invited here to a supper tonight. Now, this is one of the first suppers we've ever put on here in this meeting room, and we're kind of green at it, but we've invited you to come, and we're glad you came. And welcome, and come again, come again. There's a portion in the 22nd chapter of Matthew that I love to look at, and it is very appropriate for this supper that we're having here tonight. And as I read it, this is a parable that our blessed Lord spoke 2,000 years ago when he was down here in this world. And a parable, of course, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so we're going to read this story, and as we go along, maybe we can relate it to tonight and our supper here. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." Now I'm going to stop there. Who is that king? Well, the earthly story with a heavenly meaning is God himself. God himself. And it says, he made a marriage for his son. Now you know his son is the Lord Jesus Christ. We've just been singing a song that says, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Wonderful, isn't it, that God loved you and I, as it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you. God loves you. I want you to know that tonight, dear friend. That's one of the best news to this. You know, you turn on the radio or you turn on the TV tonight, and all you're going to get is hard news, disasters, crime, moral decay, and wars, everything. But you know, this is the best news that this world could have tonight. And you know, this is one of the reasons why we put this dinner on for you tonight, is because we have such wonderful news coming from the Word of God, and we don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want you to know it. We want you to know it. And first of all, we want you to know that God loves you. God loves you. Loves you with an everlasting love. And the next thing we want you to know is that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the dearest object of his heart, down into this world 2,000 years ago. Even history books relate this. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was a perfect man. He never sinned. Not one sin on this blessed one that walked through this world 2,000 years ago. This is like, here it says here, a certain king made a marriage for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When is this marriage going to take place? In a coming day in heaven. In heaven. And you know, dear one, tonight, I'm going to tell you this. First off, I am going to be there. You say, what? Yes, I am going to be there. And you know, everyone who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, owning him as Lord and Savior, is going to be there, and who have had their sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone is going to be there. And you can have the assurance of it in his precious word. You see, this is the divine authority, the Word of God. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." When this whole scene is gone, this still abides forever. This is the divine authority. Is it any wonder that man is attacking this Bible today? Is it any wonder? Satan would have this Bible done away with completely. But no, it's not to be. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Okay. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. A wedding. Do you like to go to a wedding? I do. There's not one person here, I don't think. If you were sent a wedding invitation, you say, "Hey, great, I want to go to that wedding." But you know, here's a wedding that is in heaven. And think of this. You're invited. You're invited. Isn't that wonderful? The heart of God to this world tonight. And He says, "I want you there. I want you there. I'm inviting you to this wedding. I'm inviting you to this wedding." You know when you get an invitation to a wedding, you get a letter in the mail, and you open it. Oh, so and so is getting married, and I'm invited. And you know that's just the way the heart of God. You know He's inviting you, dear one, tonight to this wedding in heaven, and it's to be. This wedding is going to happen. And it might happen in a very soon now. I believe with all my heart it's going to happen very soon. Because the course of this world cannot go on in all its sin any longer. This world is going to come under the judgment of God. And it says here at the end of verse 3, it says, "And they would not come." You know, this is God Himself who is inviting man to come to Him. He's inviting him to come. And they're saying, "I don't want to come." Now let's just think about this for a minute. You know, the other day we went through, I'll give my own apartment complex as kind of an example. We went down the hall and we went to a certain doors, and we knocked on the door. I said, "We're having a supper. Would you like to come?" And then we went down to the next door. "Would you like to come? Would you like to come? Would you like to come?" And we asked all around the apartment, Joan and I, and we asked quite a few people. And you know, many of them didn't come. They didn't want to come. Let's go on. "Again he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them that was bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage.'" Now you know God has provided this wonderful supper in heaven. And He's provided everything. Everything. Everything's been prepared. You know, when you came in here tonight, did we say to you, "Hey, listen, as you're coming in the door, you better go in there in the kitchen there and get busy and start baking those potatoes and start cooking that ham and start the corn and that bread. You better get in there and get busy." Did we say that? No, we said, "Hey, come on in and help yourself. Come on in and help yourself." And you know, that's what God is saying to you tonight. He says, "Everything has been prepared for you in heaven." You know, He says in John 14, He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." You ever lived in a mansion? You know, there's a mansion in heaven. There's a home in heaven for the littlest child here tonight and for the oldest person here today. For everyone, there's a home in heaven for you if you'll have the Lord Jesus. If you'll have Him. If you'll have Him. You know, there's a problem though, isn't there? There's a will. There's a will. And you know that will says, "No, I don't want God. I don't want the Lord Jesus. I don't want to change my lifestyle. I'm having a good time the way I am. If I was to be a Christian, I'd have to do this. And I'd have to live such a strict life." You know, many think of that. Many think that being a Christian would be, what a dull life. You mean you don't dance and you don't smoke and you don't drink and all those things? What a dull life. Listen, I tell you, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. What a wonderful thing it is to know that great question of my soul salvation is settled once and for all. And I have peace with God. And I know that if I was to die tonight, or if the Lord Jesus were to come, I'd go to be in that wonderful home that He has prepared for me. Think of it. I have a home in heaven prepared for me. And you know, there it is, the divine authority. He says, I have a home for you. And here it says, they all with one consent began to make excuse. And you know, there's when we went in the, inviting people the other day in the apartment. Oh, well, I've got a friend, and I got to go here, and I got to go there. And they began to make excuse. And you know, there are many that are making excuse with God. There are. I have an excuse. I want to do this. I want to do that. Or I'm too busy. And you know, that's the lie of the devil. Many, many are saying, I'm too busy. You know, it says, the hymn says, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that He can enter in the heart for which He died. You know, He died for you. The Lord Jesus died for you. Think of it, how God gave His only begotten Son to die for you on Calvary's cross. Think of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross there, expiring on that cross, suffering for you on Calvary's cross. You know, it says in Lamentations 1:12, it says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow which was done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger? Oh, think of what the Lord Jesus suffered on Calvary's cross, bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. Oh, it was love that held Him there in that cross. As we often sing, it wasn't those nails that held Him there in that cross. It was love for you, because He knew you were a lost, ruined sinner, and He wanted to save you from your sins, and He wants to take you to that wonderful home in heaven prepared for you. There's a home in heaven for you if you'll have the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. They made light of it. They made light of it. Many are making light of this wonderful offer of salvation. They're making light of it. Making fun of it. Making fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Then said He to His servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Oh, what does He say? He said, go out in the highways and compel them to come in. I want my house to be full. God wants His house full. He wants His house full of saved sinners like Al Coleman. Yes. Saved by the sovereign grace of God. Has He saved your soul? Has He saved your precious soul, dear one? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior? You know you've sinned against God? Do you know that one sin can shut you out of heaven forever? If you only sin just once in your life, you're a sinner. And you know the Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes. And that can shut you out of heaven forever. But you know there's something, there's good news. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's it. That's it. That's the formula. That's the medicine. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And so, go ye therefore into the highways and compel them to come in. Oh, you know, God is compelling you to come tonight. He's saying, come. Come, for all things are now ready. He's pleading for you to come tonight. That's why He had you come into this room. Because He wants. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? That God does not want to send a man to hell because He loves you. He's a God of love. He doesn't want to send a man to hell. God of love. But you know, He's also a holy God. And He can't have sin in His presence. You can't get to heaven with all your sins. They got to be cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way to heaven. You know, people will say, hey, my way to heaven is if I get to church every week. Get to church every week? Or if I keep all the commandments? Or if I'm kind to my neighbor? You know, it'll all weigh. The balance is away. And I'll make it to heaven. No. It's an insult to God. Everything's been done for you. Everything's been done for you. All you have to do is simply trust. You know, that's what stumbles so many. It's so simple. He only says to you, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Wonderful, isn't it? God didn't ask you to do some great thing. No, He didn't. He just says, believe. Believe and live. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God. And you know, I'm going to be there. I told you before, I said, I'm going to be there in heaven. I know I am. I know I am. Now look, here we have a supper tonight. You've been invited and you've come. Thank you for coming. Have you come to the Lord Jesus the same way? Have you? You know, there's a home in heaven for you. Just there is for me. And I'm going there. You know, as you came in this room, there was room for you. And if there was more, we would have got tables and seated more chairs. And you know, there's still room in the Father's house for you. And you know, sometimes you go to a restaurant and you might phone up that restaurant because it's probably a fancy restaurant, eh? And you say, would you reserve me a table for two? For me and my wife, we're having a little anniversary. And certainly, sir, your name, and of course you put your name down. And you come there, and you come into the restaurant, and they take you to the table, and you see that on that table, reserved. Reserved. And that's for me and my wife, and we're going to have a dinner. I'm going to turn you to a verse. First Peter, chapter 1. Now, wonderful this is. We can have the assurance that we're going to be in heaven if we know personally the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, that He is Lord of your life. I want to stress that. Lord of your life. In other words, controlling your life. Make Him Lord of your life. It says in Romans 10 and 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, is that complicated? Is that complicated? You know, you must come, though, as a guilty, lost sinner. You know, the prodigal son, when he came to his father, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That young man came to his father. He must have been an awful mess when he finally came to his father. And he said, Father, I have sinned. And you know, that's what God wants of you, dear one, tonight. Come as a lost sinner. I've sinned. And you know, immediately the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And what else? Here we have in verse 4, to an inheritance. Think of this, an inheritance. You and I that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, know Him personally as Savior, an inheritance. Wonderful, isn't it, to have an inheritance. This is not money. This is not what some rich uncle passed on to us. It's an inheritance that I have. And it's mine. Incorruptible. Incorruptible. You know, there are many things in this world that are corrupting, that as we got here farther on, that fadeth not away. Oh, I just about had it. I just about had it, many are saying. But you know, you can have this. It's for you. Look at what it says here. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved. There's that table. We reserved for me and my wife. I have a home reserved in heaven for you. For you. For you. Isn't that wonderful? Two words. He says, for you. If you're trusting Jesus as your Savior, dear friend, this is for you. Reserved for you. It's for you. Do you want it? Do you want it? You can have it. It's for you. Trust this Blessed One as Lord and Savior. Lord of your life. Do you know something? There's another supper that's mentioned in the Word of God. I've mentioned two suppers. There was one supper here in Matthew 22. There's another supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that I'm going to, by the authority of the Word of God. But then there's another supper, and that's the supper of judgment. And that's for those that said no to the Lord Jesus, that said no to Him. No, I don't come. I don't want to come. I will not come. Dear friend, tonight, We urge you tonight, come to the Lord Jesus before it's forever too late. Shall we pray?